Welcome to Dialogue, a program that explores the world of ideas and issues in national and international affairs, history, and culture. I'm George Liston, CA.
The legendary Secretary of State, George Catlett Marshall, once observed that no one could excel at statecraft without a close study of the history of the Peloponnesian Wars by Thucydides. To that he could have added a lengthy list of the plays, treatises, essays, and histories bequeathed to humanity by a legion of classic Greek thinkers and artists. For all of these works, enshrined now as classics, have enriched the heritage of Western thought for ages. But it would be wrong to think of these texts as simply objects of remote veneration or of an age that is gone forever. The lessons of the Greek classics are worthy of application to many of the crises we face today and the still undefined perils of tomorrow. Perhaps that is because their ultimate concern is with the human being, alone or in society, and the principles that shape the good life for a person and the common good for a nation. My guest is Alexandros Malias, Ambassador of Greece to the United States. Mr. Ambassador, welcome back to Dialogue.
Thank you very much, George, for inviting me. It's good to be back here in Woodrow Wilson Center.
I must say, first time you were here, you were on our program, the audience loved you. You got a tremendous reaction. I'm delighted to have you back this time because we're going to talk about something that we both love and I think people out watching will be fascinated with. In a recent and very eloquent speech you gave, you spoke of what I just mentioned, the relevance of the Greek classics to modern statecraft and how important you felt that was, how strongly you felt that was, you feel about that. Why do you feel so strongly? Why is that so important?
I'm not skipping your question, but let me first say at the outset that I'm not a classicist. My first experience in the classics, of course in Greek, school age in Greece, and then some lectures in the faculty, was not voluntary, let's put it like that, in a mild manner. Yet, throughout my career as a professional, as a foreign service professional, as diplomat, I found truly a lot of that many questions can be answered if we go back to what has been written 2,500 years ago. And since my arrival in Washington as ambassador of Greece to the United States, I discovered first that this country loves the classics, and second that on a weekly basis there are always new titles related to Thucydides, to Xenophon, to Homer, to Aeschylus in the bookshops.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So I must avoid to you and to those who are following us that I study now the Greek classics also in English. Sometimes I make a comparative comparison between the existing translations and the original, the Greek. And going back to the core of your question, I think that the classics are very relevant in this century. A century of the lack of analogy, of the right proportion, of the symmetry and metron.
Lack of balance and
the balancing, the balancing factor is missing.
I completely agree.
It's missing in foreign relations. Is missing on the climate change. Is missing this dividing line between those who have and those who perish on a daily basis because they do not have.
And Mr. Ambassador, I think that's a, wonderful answer, to be honest with you, because quite frankly, it's you made, I think, for me and for those watching, the essence of the classics live with that statement, and the way that they teach us the importance of of balance, of proportion, and of doing justice, if you will, to those who don't have. You mentioned the importance of the classics to your own career as a diplomat, and I know that you've cited particular plays, for example, the works of Aeschylus, that have, have done that. Give us a couple of examples of what you mean by that.
Let me first say that I'm very happy. This is my fourth and last year as ambassador of Greece to the United States. But wherever I went, I found that these plays have a very contemporary message.
Right.
For example, 2 years ago, here in the Washington Shakespeare Theater, we had a fantastic play of Aeschylus' play, The Persians.
The Persians, of course. Uh-huh.
Well, it's so true, so relevant. And Aeschylus...
Relevant why?
Well, I will just go to first, Aeschylus himself was not what we could call in 20th century, 21st century label as a pacifist. He was not demonstrating in the streets of Athens or in New York as a pacifist to stop a war. He was an hoplite.
He was a soldier himself.
He was a soldier himself. And I think that Aeschylus in the Persians wrote this piece, which he presented in an Athenian audience. And it's an elegy, for, compassion to those defeated. But he does it with this grace. And then if you just listen to the message, the messenger, the Persian, who crossed again Greece and Hellespont, Asia Minor, to go to Persepolis and Susa. And when you listening to him, how he explains the reasons of the defeat to Queen Atosha. Queen Atosha is the widow of the great king, Darius. And you understand that these are some lessons that the strategists and those who plan military plans in the DOD, in Washington, in Athens, elsewhere, should truly try to understand why a small army, much smaller, maybe the proportion was, I think, greater than 10 to 1, was victorious. Why a smaller navy performed better but a huge fleet? Why, when you organize expeditions outside, far and beyond the borders of your homeland, or what you can call in strategic terms friendly environment, matters to know exactly where you go, whom you are going to fight against, and even stronger, the motivation.
That's marvelous.
The morale, the motivation.
These are lessons that endure forever, obviously.
I think so, and I think for all of us there are lessons to be learned.
You know, one of the reasons I think they endure forever is because, to me, whether we're talking about classic Greek plays, philosophy, speeches, orations, they all, or at least all the ones I'm familiar with and love most, are based on sort of fundamental values: prudence, moderation, justice, reason. I mean, these things sort of shout out to you. Very simple. And one of the reasons the word classic is so beautiful is classics always go to the essence of something. And I think that these works captured. Is that a view you share?
Well, you said in the your introductory remarks that for the classics, as it was said, ο άνθρωπος είναι το μέτρο των πάντων. The man is the basis for measurement
the
of
measurement,
everything.
Right.
So if we go back in this century, we decide to look back to the human being, to the man, to the mankind, instead of figures, I think we have more chances to succeed. If we have an anthropocentric policy, including an economic and social one, I think we can find remedies to most of the problems.
Exactly.
But also, the mankind is responsible and accountable for the lack of measure and symmetry, mm-hmm. as I told you, for example, in our destruction of our
environment.
Environment.
Yeah.
So that's very urgent. Mm-hmm. And the classics also have shown us that there are always adequate and appropriate solutions. Mm-hmm. You mentioned Marshall and Thucydides. It's Thucydides and the Peloponnesian War is the most relevant, the most actual foreign policy textbook that still exists.
I know.
It's the most comprehensive one.
Exactly. I'd like to say a word, if I might, to that portion of our audience that's probably still in school or very interested in academic subjects. Don't be frightened by the title, the austere, classic, much celebrated nature of this book. It reads beautifully. It's like a novel. You pick this up and all the human passions are there and many of the answers that we need for today. So anyway, that's my advertisement.
And also it's so actual and present all over the world.
Exactly.
Just take the world Athens, Thebes, Sparta, Corinth, Plataea, Mytilene, and put the place you want. I don't want to put exactly what I have in mind, but it's so relevant. The Athenian expedition in Sicily, the Melian dialogue, and other dialogues who are less known than the funeral oration by Pericles.
Yeah.
I think it's a must for anyone who wants to make a political career.
Right.
For a civil servant at large, but also for all those who are dealing with intelligence, military operations, military planning, and also those who aspire to improve themselves by serving. I heard President Obama, his inaugural speech. Mm-hmm. It was a pledge, an appeal, and an elegy. It's an appeal for and an analogy to the public service.
Right.
Well, if we go back to Socrates on peace.
Mm-hmm.
On peripedias, on education, but also in the funeral oration, you see that civil service is highlighted as the most precious agathon.
Right.
It's the most good public good we do have in a democratically organized society.
This is absolutely correct. We are correctly, I think, helpfully, certainly, dealing with the relevance of the classics for the world in which you and I live today, the world in which we all live. Isn't it also true, and I think this might be particularly of interest to an American audience, that there's an historical relevance here, too, in the founding of this country, in the basic documents that guide our lives as Americans, and the way in which the writers of those documents, the founding fathers, thought that they had a particular reliance, a direct reliance on the, for example, you think of the Federalist Papers as being inspired by Greek thought.
You're absolutely right. Throughout history, we saw that the classics and the plays and the dramas have tremendously influenced first what we call the European Renaissance. Mm-hmm. The revival era in Europe. And if you go in Venice and you see the first editions in the well-known printing houses as Aldus Manutius, or in Paris, or in Milan, and later in Trieste and elsewhere, you will discover that the first books they translated was the Bible.
Right.
And then you have Aristotle, Plato, and the classics. Federalist Papers. Well, Federalist Papers is the most high in terms of the profound level dialogue between Alexander Hamilton, James Madison, and I think was the first judge, James Jay, on the merits of the city polis, Kratos, city, nation, the Athenian. And they have defined that they would like to build the United States and the Constitution based on inclusiveness, mm-hmm. on the possibility to serve, notwithstanding your social background, and third, to create what we can say in bad English, meritocracy. The aristocracy is not those who are the most wealthy, but those who are the best.
Aristos.
Those who excel. Mm-hmm. So that was the profound thinking. And I know that in the United States it's a must, but I think it's something that I'm going to try to recommend when I'll go back to Greece, as my tenure as ambassador here comes to an end in June. And I will try to find maybe some people to convince them to translate them in Greece. So the classes were translated in English. Uh-huh. We see this dialogue. It's a philosophical, political dialogue, the Federalist Papers, and try to translate them in Greece.
Isn't that wonderful?
That's something
that
we owe to the Federalists.
That would become, everything would come full circle in that way, or through the ages.
But also, yes, but also I think that the Founding Fathers and the Federalist Papers had a tremendous impact mm-hmm. in the political in the political formation throughout the last 200 years in the United States.
Now, when you talk about tremendous impact on the political history of this country, you remind me of another aspect of what we're talking about that we must bring into the conversation now, because we're talking about the influence on government, governance, diplomacy, and so forth. You could argue, and I think maybe you would join me in this or agree, or maybe you wouldn't, but that it also, I'm talking now about the legacy of classic Greek thought, gives us the language of protest. I'm thinking in particular of Martin Luther King.
Yes.
And I'm thinking that here you can cite a leader who quite eloquently drew much of his inspiration from the thought of classic Greek thinkers.
Dr. King has been a source of inspiration for us in Greece. For my generation, for my daughters, and I'm sure he's going to continue to be a source of inspiration for the next generations. His relation with, actually, Dr. King was a Greek. He was Hellene.
Ah, that's wonderful.
Because, as Isocrates said, we consider, θεωρούμε ως Έλληνες, εκείνους που μετέχουν της ελληνικής παιδείας. We consider as Hellenes not just the Greeks, but all those who are who get the Greek education. So, in this respect, Dr. King is a Greek, and we spoke earlier about Aeschylus and Prometheus Bound. Mm-hmm. The self-punishment. It's very much something that inspired Dr. King's writings. His writings in his Birmingham cell, and also you can find a very moving, for me, paragraph in his last speech before his assassination.
The one, the Memphis speech?
In Memphis, on the mountaintop, mm-hmm. when he said that you have to go back to Greece to meet Aristotle and Plato and get the wisdom.
Yes, he mentioned my name. Yes,
yes,
of course.
He mentioned my name. So I think also that another very strong affinity between Dr. King's writings is the following. You must breach the law if the law is unjust. And there is no better service you do to your society, to your people, to your country, if by your stance you do not obey to a law if the law is unjust. And that is Antigone's dilemma.
Yeah,
Sophocles.
Exactly.
So, and Dr. King also has inspired the new generation of political leaders in the United States, but also many others outside the United States. So He was, I think, a classicist. Mm-hmm. And he made this ideal combination, being a pastor himself in Atlanta, with the message of the classics, who are very human.
Exactly.
Very
so,
human.
Exactly. You know, that's so beautifully said. And
Can I add something?
Sure.
I would like to seize this opportunity to send my regards and my friendship to the Helenes in Birmingham, Alabama. The Brunetta Hill Elementary School, which is walking distance from the Civil Rights Museum.
Oh, yes.
And very close to this church that was burned with four children.
The bomb church, right.
Greece and our embassy has adopted this, the Brunetta Hill Elementary School, as that was a gesture of recognition of Birmingham's role in promoting those principles and values that were cherished by the classic, which is dignity, freedom, inclusiveness, and democracy.
Thank you very much. I mean,
thank you.
Really. I want to turn our conversation to actually keep the same theme. I'm not changing our subject.
That's all right.
But I want to turn it to, and this will be an interesting, I think, twist on what we're talking about, to today, to Greece, to world politics, to diplomacy. In this regard, Greece has assumed the chairmanship of the Office of Security and Cooperation in Europe,
yes,
part of the EU, which is an extremely important post. And I understand that in the person of the Prime Minister, she represents this, but certainly on behalf of Greece, Greece intends in this role to emphasize the concepts of synergy, strategy, and symmetry,
that's right,
in what it undertakes.
Yes.
Here we have, and I guess this is the question, do we have here principles and concepts drawn from the classics? Is that the inspiration for this particular policy direction? And what does it mean in practice?
Well, yes. First, it's true that Greece has the great honor to serve stability, mm-hmm, peace, democracy, and human rights, mm-hmm, as the chairman in office of the Organization Security, mm-hmm, and Cooperation in Europe, mm-hmm, for 2009. Foreign Minister of Greece, Dora Bakoyani, was here in Washington, mm-hmm, in the early steps of this administration. And she had a fantastic, very useful talks. What the chairman can do in 12 months, mm-hmm, be honest, mm-hmm, first. Second, be honest broker, mm-hmm, and then try to get some important political deals on a consensus basis,
right,
which affect Europe right now. Mm-hmm. Our main focus is to restore symmetry where symmetry is missing.
Mm-hmm. Well, give me an example.
Yes. For example, the world is facing threats which we qualified as symmetrical threats. We need a good strategy, and we need synergies. We need synergies. Mm-hmm. If we need everybody on board,
right,
to get a deal. For example, right now we are trying to get an extension of the mandate of the OSCE mission in Caucasus, in Georgia. We had already some initial successes.
Right.
Extension of mandate on a consensual basis. And let me tell you that it was the first act that Georgia and the Russian Federation agreed.
Really?
So I tell you, this is a consensual
basis.
That's
a major agreement.
So that was a good step forward, a good start. We still we want to move beyond that forward. Dora Bakoyani, my minister, the Greek Minister of Foreign Affairs, under her capacity of chairman in office, mm-hmm, is visiting Georgia and March 23rd. We try also to examine several proposals related to the European architecture,
right,
architecture in other Greek world, and Europe also was born in Greece, you know that.
Yes, I do know that.
Yeah. So we try also to show that security, is indivisible, but the security dividend has also a very individual, is a very individual, has a very particular dividend
right.
for each and all citizens in Europe. So it's not an easy task, but it's a very challenging one. Mm-hmm. And we look forward with optimism.
Now, you say this will run for the course of this year.
2009, yes.
Yeah, entire course.
2009, uh-huh. The country who will follow Greece is Kazakhstan.
Yeah.
Country from Central Asia, and we're working very hard to get this OSCE again moving on all the issues that was
right.
traditionally had as a mandate yeah. to move since its founding in Helsinki Final Act.
Mr. Ambassador, as we come near to the conclusion of our conversation, I would love to end on a personal note.
Yes.
Going back to the beginning of the conversation, I was intrigued by something, a reference you made to how you were instructed in the Greek classics as a young schoolboy in
yes.
Greece. Is it something, and I guess we only have time for a sentence or two on this, but would you recommend the inclusion of the classics in the formal basic education of every young person?
I recommend the inclusion of the Greek classics as in the curriculum
right.
of those who want to serve their country,
right.
those who want to serve their society, and those who want to understand the challenges we face in the 21st century.
That's beautifully said. And may I say that as a result of our conversation, I will consider myself an Hellene from now on.
George, you were an Hellene already.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You have been listening to Dialogue. Our guest today was Alexandros Malaias, Greek ambassador to the United States. Our producer and host was George Liston C.A. Our technical director is John Tyler. Our production engineer is Sharana Harris, and our assistant producer is Keila Jackson. Dialogue is a production of the Woodrow Wilson International Center for Scholars. Established by Congress in 1968, the center is our nation's official and living memorial to the 28th President of the United States, Woodrow Wilson.